on this Lord's Day. Today is the day that Lord has given to us to worship the living God. And in the midst of everything that is going on, I want to assure you, as a servant of God, God is in absolute control of history. He foreknew this, and he has the authority. And I really do believe also he has the power. And in fact, I put my trust in him, and he's the only one who could deliver us. But I think in the midst of everything that is happening, what is the purpose of God? I want us to kind of consider. I know you've been thinking about this. I know you've been wondering about this. I know deep inside you are asking this question. What is the purpose of everything that is happening? There's got to be a purpose. And hopefully through this worship service, Lord will speak to you and speak to us, strengthen and encourage. Not only we have desire to get through this, but may Lord shine upon us as a church, as his called people, that we may even perhaps shine. Today, the title of the message is very, very well-known title. I Am the Good Shepherd, Part 1. Lord willing, we'll do Part 2 and Part 3 in the following weeks. But I am the Good Shepherd, and I want to start with this statement. Jesus, who said, I am the Good Shepherd, is Yahweh and Jehovah. Jesus, who came, who stated, who declared that I am the Good Shepherd, is the Jehovah, the Lord, and Yahweh. And how do you say that? The most famous shepherd statement in the world, probably the most famous imagery and the picture that is known to every generation, every culture, is that God being the shepherd. Psalm 23, it says, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, and I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So therefore, Jesus, who is saying in this Gospel of John, again and again and again, clearly declaring his deity, and he's the only one who came from the Lord, and he's saying, I am Jehovah. In John chapter 10, which has the most well-known imagery of the scripture, where Jesus and or God is the shepherd, which makes you and I sheep. Can you picture that? It's a pretty unfamiliar animal to Westerners, but you could imagine that. This weak herbivores, grass eaters, grazers, and the shepherd, and if you could just picture shepherd and the sheep. And when we say Jesus is my shepherd, what is the significance, especially in ancient Middle Eastern pastoral culture? What is the significance of being a shepherd? This is what it meant to the original audience. Shepherding and pasturing culture of Palestine, a shepherd meant everything to sheep. The reason being, sheep being a very weak animal, herbivores, and if you could just think with me, herbivores and weak animal need to be fast to survive. But sheep are not that fast animal. So if you think, there's wild dogs, wild cats, but there is no such thing as wild sheep. The reason being, the sheep cannot last one day without a shepherd. So when we say Jesus is the shepherd, he's the absolute need protector from all kinds of threats and harms and wolves and predators and thieves and robbers. Secondly, what does it mean culturally and pastorally? It means he is the one who leads sheep. Sheep are known as very unintelligent animals, low IQ, and easily confused, and they get very easily frightened. So when the threat comes, it is known that sheep just, they just don't know which direction to run to. Without leading of the shepherd, sheep cannot last one day. And lastly, sheep is also the provider. Without shepherd providing and guiding to the green pasture, water, they are just helpless animals. So pastorally speaking, very, very important. When Jesus declared that I am the good shepherd, he's the protector, and he's the leader, and he's the provider. And one day you cannot last without the shepherd. But isn't it kind of interesting that Bible calls we are all like sheep. We are all like sheep and have gone astray. But the Lord has put the burden upon Jesus, the Lamb of God. But much more on an intense level, the meaning of shepherd is much greater in the scripture. In the Old Testament, the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep is prevalent. Let me just introduce just a few of them. Number one, the most well-known one, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, perhaps you feel like that right now, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with me. Okay. Psalm 100, it says, know the Lord is God, and we are his people. Now, if you could think with me, if you could just focus, we're talking about sheep and shepherd. Now, all of a sudden, he changed the language of people and the kingship. So in the original biblical context, shepherd has that meaning of kingship, sovereignty. And that's clear in the Bible. Psalm 100, well, know the Lord your God. Lord is God, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is our shepherd and king. One more. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Behold, Lord God comes in might. It's a messianic prophecy, meaning the Lord Yahweh will come as Messiah or Christ, and he's going to tend his flock like a shepherd. So we see in the Old Testament, it is very clear that it's prevalent picture of God and deity and the Lord and Messiah being the shepherd. What about in the New Testament, other than John chapter 10? We know in 1 Peter, Peter calls Jesus was returning as the chief shepherd. Chief shepherd. So it is clear in that context, in that kind of meaning and nuance, Jesus is declaring that I am the good shepherd, and you are my sheep. That's what he's saying. And as he's declaring, I am the good shepherd, he's declaring his fourth I am statement of in John's gospel. Do you recall each of them? The first one is in John chapter 6, after Jesus feeding 20,000 people, 5,000 men and women with five loaves of bread and two fish. He said, I am the bread. I am the manna. I am the true manna who came down from heaven. First, I am statement. When he's saying, I am statement, he's saying, ego eimi, of Exodus chapter 3, where God's name is revealed to Moses in front of the burning bush. Second one, as you recall, we've been talking about in chapter 8 and chapter 9, God is the light, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He comes and shine upon your soul. Then and only then we could begin to see what we need to see. Without it, we are in complete darkness. So that's the second I am statement. And the third I am statement and fourth I am statement are both in chapter 10. And the third one comes before I am the good shepherd is I am the door, which, Lord willing, what we will talk about next week. He's the only door, entrance, in and out. I am the door. And fourthly, today we're sharing, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. So today's text in John chapter 10, if you notice, there is no introduction, which is to say, it may sound very, very unimportant, but it's a very important statement. There is no separation between John chapter 9 and John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is following through John chapter 9. So if you recall, John chapter 9 is really a one story. Jesus, light of the world, comes and shine upon this blind beggar, one blind beggar. Out of all people, this outcast, unimportant, unsubstantial, and just nobody, basically, a blind beggar. What an incredible imagery that is, though, which just portrays the state of humanity. We are blind and we are beggars. And to him, Jesus, light of the world, shines upon him, shines upon his heart, and he opens his physical eyes, and he visits him again, and he opens his spiritual eyes, and through which this one person began to come to know the Lord. But if you recall, in the at the end of this chapter, Jesus speaks a very provocative statement. If you are blind, then there is no more sin. There is no sin. But if you say because you see, your sin remains. So something very, very provocative and thoughtful, and he was speaking to the religious leaders who thought they were able to see, but they were blind. Can I just ask you, all of you, what do you see in a time like? What do you see? If God is God and if God exists, and we know God is sovereign, and there is only two ways you could respond, and I've been sharing this. You could respond as if there is no God. If you don't have God, you will respond like that, as if there is no God over what is happening all over the world. But if you do have God, you will respond as if there is God. How are you responding? Really, it's a question. Because today, I don't know whether you notice, the foundations are shaken, isn't it? What we consider unshakable, such as U.S. economy, such as my health, my invincible health, such as my security, whatever I think, whatever I've been working all throughout my life. I've been working so hard, pouring my life, but everything in one shot, it is shaken, isn't it? I read this article from CNN. In just 30 days, the whole world economy may go into recession. Can you believe that? And I'm not trying to alert anybody economically, but that's just the way it is. What you've been working so hard, going to school for, working so hard for. God is shaking your foundation. And I'm asking you, what do you see? What do you see? In John chapter 10, Jesus comes along and basically to the same audience, which are the Pharisees and which are the blind beggar, and which are the disciples, and he's saying, and he's talking about, I am the shepherd. And he's declaring that he is God. He's the Messiah. He is the divine being who came into this world, and there is no one else who could claim that. There is just no one else. So what we want to see today is the relationship between, what the relationship between shepherd and the sheep is, according to Jesus. According to God, and he is God, and if you are his people, and this is the dynamic. Okay, three things I want us to take a look. John chapter 1, which is a continuation of John chapter 9, with that statement of if you are blind, you will see, and if you say you see, you are blind. And Jesus just continues without any interruption. Truly, truly, I say to you, He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. What I need to explain is a little bit of a culture. In Jesus' time, ancient Palestinian pastoral culture, there are villages, small villages, and villages would have a communal sheep pen. Okay, it's in the, let's say, in the village, and has a protective wall, and there is a gatekeeper. And what the shepherds, these shepherds do is they graze and they raise the sheep during the day. At night, they would bring their sheep and just entrust into the sheepfold. So sometimes, maybe it is more than one, two, three, four, five shepherds bring their own sheep and just keep them together overnight. Okay. If you could think about that, you would say, wouldn't that cause a lot of confusion? How are you supposed to know which sheep belongs to which shepherd? That's our way of thinking. But amazing fact that Jesus is explaining, which is the ancient Palestinian culture, is that shepherd knew every single his or her his sheep, every single one of them. In fact, it says he knew by name. Isn't that kind of interesting? So you would keep the sheep, and next morning when the night is done, he comes over and brings one sheep at a time, calling your name. Hey, Lazarus, come on out. Come on out. Saul, come on out. Come on out. June, come on out. Come on out. Hey, Kim, come on out. Out. He calls each one by name. It's an incredible. And if you look at verse 1 and 2, it speaks about, Jesus speaks about two kinds of shepherds. True shepherd, good shepherd, or false shepherd, thieves and robbers. Okay. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So if you notice, there's no distinction between true shepherd and false shepherd other than the way they enter in the sheepfold. Do you see that? The false ones, which are thieves and robbers, they enter by climbing in because they have no right to do that, because they have no ownership. They have no authority. So they have to sneak in. They have to climb in, which with a mal intention of killing them, destroying them, and robbing them. However, true shepherd, Jesus himself, came through the door. That's the only difference. Enter through the door, and the other climb over through the walls, which speaks about the right, ownership, authority. But there's only one true shepherd Jesus is talking about. And then he introduces in the sheep pen, there's a gatekeeper. Gatekeeper opens. Who would he open the door to? Only to shepherd. Not to the thieves and robbers. Only to the shepherd. And verse 3 and 4 is what I want to spend time today, especially in time like this. What is the relationship that Jesus say, the relationship between true shepherd and his true disciples, true believers, or the church? Verse 3 and 4, it's amazing because almost every single word is very, very, very important. If you would just read along with me. Here's the dynamic. Here's the relationship. The sheep hears his voice, and the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and the shepherd lead them out. And when the shepherd has brought out, verse 4, all his own, all of his sheep, the shepherd goes before the sheep, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's amazing. Jesus is an amazing teacher. Amazing teacher, he is. This is the seventh discourse of John's gospel. We take about 1 month per chapter, and that's the kind of pace we are moving as we study John's gospel. It's almost 9 months. We're going into 10th month studying John's Gospel. And basically, verse 3 and 4, Jesus sums up the purpose of Jesus coming biblically, gospelly, theologically in two statements. And we're going to look at that today. Okay. So what does shepherd do? What did he come for? Three things. Number one, he calls. Calling of the sheep. We see that, right? And shepherd calls his own sheep. The second thing is he leads them out. Ekklesia. What is that word? The church. Interestingly, the word church in Greek is ek, out of. And klesia, called out. So interesting, because that's exactly what the shepherd does. Calling them out by name. Each by name. And thirdly, which is pretty obvious, he stands in the front and leads them. Okay, those are three things. Number one, he calls. Number two, calling of the sheep. Second, he getting them out, ekklesia, out of the outer sheep pen. And then lastly, leading them. And let's look at it a little bit in detail. The first one, he calls his own sheep by name. What does that mean when we say the shepherd knows your name? That's an incredible thing. If you think about it, these are animals. And you know each sheep by name. Each and every single one of them. When you look at the Bible, knowing the name or changing of the name by God means a lot more than just knowing his name per se. It means changing the destiny, changing, knowing the person. Like, I'm sure there are weak ones, and then there are strong ones, and then there are smart ones, and then there are not so smart ones. And then there are wise ones, and then there are stubborn ones, and then there are very obedient ones. The shepherd know each character, weakness, and shortcomings, infirmities, and he loves them like a father loves a child, like a king loves his own, his people. He knows each sheep's name, and he calls them out. In the Bible, we see that God calls his people by name. Who do you recall? I think the first one comes to my mind is Saul, Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you forsaking me? Acts chapter 9. It's really interesting because I don't know whether he was a sheep at the time. But in God's mind, he was. Saul, Saul, why are you forsaking me? He called Saul. Who else does come to your mind? Lazarus, John chapter 11, when he was dead already for 4 days. Lazarus, come forth, come on out. Come on out of that death. Come on out of that darkness. Come on out. He calls. He calls the blind beggar, blind beggar. He shines upon him and he calls him, come on out. He calls his own people by name. Can I just ask you, has God called you out? This calling, which is very, very theological, very, very biblical. And I want us to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30. And I think chapter 8, 8th chapter of Romans is like the highlight of Paul's treatise of the gospel. And he's at the climax. And basically he's stating that, and we know that, in all things, God works for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. He's talking about those elect and saved. And then verse 29 kind of sums up what God does in terms of his salvation work. And it begins with what? Do you recall? God foreknew his people. We talked about this statement very carefully in the past. But for the time's sake, we're not going to do that. But what does it mean that he knew? Isn't God omniscient? Doesn't he know everything? What does it mean before your birth, before the foundation of the world, he foreknew you? It means his divine love was poured upon you. He foreknew and he predestined. That's a very, very positive word. In other words, God, who foreknew his people, his own sheep, he already put the destiny, he already settled the destiny of where you are heading toward to. And then the next thing is, for those who are predestined, he called. Lazarus, come forth. Saul, Saul, come forth. Blind beggar, come forth. Paul, come forth. Right? The calling of God. The effectual calling of God. Why does it have to be effectual? Because that person cannot wake himself up. Only the power of the Holy Spirit, power of God, could wake up someone from the deadness and call him out. Calling of God. And those who are called, he justified. Can you imagine? Perfect holy God call you justified. You're righteous. What an amazing statement. There is no way in the world I could be called righteous on my own. That's absolutely impossible. The only way I could be called righteous by the holiness of God, perfect holiness of God, is not my holiness, not my righteousness. It's the righteousness that was given to me, imputed upon me, freely given to me. And who has that? Only God does. Only Jesus does. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. His righteousness comes to me and I am justified. Those who are called, he justified. And what is he going to do? He's going to glorify. That's a past tense. Meaning, it is done deal. God who foreknew, he's going to carry it to the end. What he has started, he's going to finish it. So people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He is in absolute control. But I do want to ask you, do you know him? Is he your shepherd? Do you know his voice? So calling, that's what the shepherd Jesus came to do. He calls his people out of the sheep pen. What is that? There are many different theories. People say it's the church, but that does not make sense, because why would Jesus come and get you out of church? That doesn't make sense. What about darkness? A little bit, it makes sense. What about sin? Okay, that makes sense too. What about bondage? Yes. What about the world? Yeah, all these are possible. But contextually speaking, I think probably the best answer to that question of what is sheep pen is Israel. That Judaism, dark religion, led by these thieves and robbers who climbed in, distorted the truth, and try to kill and steal and destroy them. And isn't that what we saw in Acts chapter 9, John chapter 9, when Jesus called blind beggar? Out of all the people, he called out one man, blind beggar. Okay? So first thing is calling, and second thing is calling out. Ekklesia. Church in original word is ekklesia. Ek means out of. Lesia, called out. That's what you are. And my question to all of you this afternoon, in this turbulent time, has God called you out? Or are you still in darkness? Has he called your name? He came to call each of you by name, from your deadness, from your slavery, from your darkness, from your bondage. Saul, come forth. Lazarus, come on out. Blind beggar, come on out. Don't stay in religion and don't stay in darkness. Come on out today. And that's what he does. Number one, he calls. Number two, he calls them out. And number three, he stands in the front and he leads them. If you watch TV, you watch dogs or cowboys on a horse, kind of like herding the sheep from the behind. And that's Western. That's Western. But that's not biblical. Biblical Eastern pastoral culture is shepherd with a staff, which is his weapon and which is what he stands on, and he leads and the sheep follows. How does sheep do that? Because sheep knows the shepherd and he hears his voice. So shepherd, sheep relationship, three things: calling them by name. Number two, calling them out of darkness, out of sheep pen, out of religiosity, out of deadness. And number three, leading them. Okay, those are three things that we see Jesus is teaching. And that's what he came to do. What about the sheep's response? Very quickly, two things. Number one, we see that sheep hears his voice. And my question to you is, do you hear his voice? If you are a sheep, you hear his voice. This week, as I was preparing, I was reminded of John chapter 8, verse 39. If you abide in his word, in my word, you are truly my disciples. The reason you do not know me is because you do not heed in the word of God. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear him calling you? We see it right here. The first response is the sheep hears his voice. And the second response, which I think it is critical, is the sheep following him, the shepherd. I think this is a great time for you to reflect. Christians and non-Christians, churchgoers and non-churchgoers, are you following him? I don't think that's a tough question. I don't think so, people. When our foundation is shaken, it's an opportunity for God is calling his people. There's not a thing we can do right now other than praying for the leaders, praying for mercy, praying for the health professionals, which is a very important thing. But there is not a thing we could possibly do about what is happening in this world right now. Christians, churchgoers, people of God, are you following him? Okay. So those are the two responses of the sheep, true sheep, to the shepherd. They hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow the shepherd. Are you his sheep? Has he called you out? Is he calling your name? I really ask you to consider these things. I want to just summarize John chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. You know, Jesus came into the world through the door. Only Jesus, gatekeeper, opened the door. There is no other person who could claim that. The person who entered into this world through God is Jesus, God-man alone. He's the only shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the shepherd. Whoever come before me, they are thieves and robbers. There are so many who claim to be Messiah. There are right now so many claim to be Messiah and Savior. There are so many things that claim to be your Savior and Messiah. Those are all thieves and robbers. There is only one true shepherd Messiah who came. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He's the only one. He is the Jehovah Yahweh, Messiah Christos. He's Christ. He's the Savior King. And the gatekeeper opened the door, for he alone has the right and authority because he owns the sheep. God has given his sheep to Jesus, the good shepherd. What's the purpose of his coming? He say it very, very clearly right here. In verse 9, it says, if anyone enters by me, Christ, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know why he came? He came to save you. He came to call you out of darkness. He came to rescue you, ecclesia you, from the bondage and darkness and blindness. only through that true shepherd it is possible. That's why he came. And he came as a good shepherd. Why is he a good shepherd? You know why he's a good shepherd? Right here, very easily. I am the good shepherd, and explains right here. I know my own, my sheep, and my own, my sheep, they know me. It's a mutual knowing. But it is much more than that. And then Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me, just as. In other words, what he's about to share about knowing between shepherd and sheep is same as this. And he's saying, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I want to pause. Because this is an incredible Trinitarian, mind-blowing statement, isn't it? We know God exists in three persons, one God, from eternity past. Absolutely inseparable. It doesn't make sense. You can't even say that. You can't separate them. Absolute oneness, unity, in three persons, loving with each other, in perfect holiness, perfect sacrificial love. And Jesus is saying, my relationship with my sheep is same as my relationship with my Father. Could you just think about that? My relationship with you, Jesus is saying, same as my relationship, the way it has been with my Father all throughout eternity. And then he says, that is why I lay down my life for you. So knowing of God is not cognitive. It's not something I know, I understand. It's not that at all. Knowing of God is eternal and visceral. Just as Father loved the Son with eternal love, perfect love, holy love, and he loves you, and that's why he came to lay down his life for you. He's calling you, people. He's calling you by name. People, he's calling you. Today, he's calling you. Lazarus, come forth. Come on out. Soul, come on out. Come on out, soul. I foreknew you. I predestined you. And I am calling you. Come on out. And he justifies you and he glorifies you. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Unlike the false shepherd, thieves and robbers, who came not through the door, but climbed in and cheated, and their only intention is malintention, to kill and steal and destroy. And you listen to their lies and deceptions, all these sweet talks of false teachers. Everything will be all right. You're going to be rich and give you false hope, false security, which does not standing upon Christ. These are false teachers, which may be sweet to the ear, but this religion, lifeless lies without the truth, and it will kill you. Because that's the intention. It's the scheme of the devil. Jesus clearly lays that out. You have to come out of that religion. You have to come out of the darkness. You have to come out of that false security and stand upon Christ, the true shepherd. Jesus is the Jehovah shepherd, good shepherd. Why is he good? Because he calls you out of darkness. Think about how foolish and helpless and stubborn and wicked we are. You know, my brother and I, we met this week in this, chaotic days. I had a chance to meet him, and we were talking about, as servants of God, how church needs to see strong Christians. Because I don't think people will stand with a little bit of persecution. This is just the brink of persecution, isn't it? Unless you are solidly standing upon Christ, following the Good Shepherd, following the Spirit, people will easily give up. You know, we think whatever is happening, we don't deserve it. People of God, We are living in a time where we say, even my gender, I decide. That has nothing to do with sex. That's my identity, my ownership of my life. Because scripture says, in the image of God, God created male and female. And we are saying, no, I'm not a man. I'm a woman. We are just completely, completely opposing, rebelling against God. And people, I really believe it's time that the Spirit of God is calling you. Good Shepherd is calling you to repent. Have you been following him? Have you been following him? Or you've been living the life recklessly? Okay. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Even before my birth, even before the foundation of the world, God foreknew me. There's nothing to worry, people. Worry will not add anything right now. And Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and which means he bought you and I. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul speaks to the elders of Ephesian church, and now he knew he was going to die, and he basically say church was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are his sheep, you are bought by the blood and the very life of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. That's why he's the Good Shepherd. It is through the cross, his death, he purchased us. He purchased us. Okay. Lastly, his sheep. And Jesus, my sheep, know his voice. By his great mercy, your eyes are open, your ears are open. You begin to hear his voice. Do you hear him? Hey, come on out. Come on out. Follow me. Follow me. Don't stay in religion. Don't stay in darkness. Don't stay in the false security. Follow me. Come on out. By grace, we begin to hear and we begin to see his voice. I was reading this article from Gospel Coalition about this pandemics and epidemics throughout history. This is not the first time, people, and I know this is way, way beyond us right now. But in 1920s, a little before 1920s, Spanish flu killed millions of people, millions of people. And we know in 1854, there was a cholera outbreak in Europe, and so many people were dying. And that's when Spurgeon, who came to London and began to pastor people in his 20s. Can you imagine? In his early 20s, Charles Spurgeon, this pastor, was pastoring a church in London in crisis situation, and there are millions of people dying in Europe. And he recalls in his writing, during that time, when he preaches, when gospel was preached, there is no one who would attend, who would listen to this gospel message like half-heartedly. There is no one who would just laugh at the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think what he's saying is, when the foundations are shaken, I can't explain everything that is going on in finance or politics or anything like that. But I know there's one thing. Clearly and loudly, he's calling you. He's calling you to come. Follow me. He's calling his sheep by name to follow him. There's one thing that is clear, people. Do you know his voice? He's calling you today. Okay. I know you. I know you, and I came to lay down my life for you. I came to lay down my life for you. Do not stay in that sheep pen of darkness, of religion, but come. Come on out. Ecclesia and the effectual calling. Lazarus, come forth and believe in me. He's with us, people. And he's the good shepherd. And Lord is my shepherd. I just pray that as he calls your name today, you would humbly respond. Even at home right now, wherever you are, come before the Lord. Okay? Let's pray.